Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the day. We ask that as we stop
to you this evening, that Lord, you may touch our heart in whatever way you see fit, work in us, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I haven't got this turned on, have I?
There you go. 2 weeks ago, I got sidetracked from Abraham and looked at a mountain and the circumstances around it. And I sort of got a little bit excited and thought I might do another one before we get back to Abraham. And last time we looked at Mount Nebo. Mount Nebo was the mountain of what, Andrew? Can't remember. Oh, sorry. Because you said it this morning, you had a lot of love. Well, yeah, that's another way of putting it. I thought you knew because I was talking to him this morning. He said, I've been having a lot of Mount Nebo experiences this week. And so, well, another way of saying it is frustration. The mount of frustration. So there you go. And he wasn't talking about Shelley or the kids, if you're wondering, all right? They weren't even in the subject, if we're wondering. So what I thought we'd do, so that mountaintop experience certainly wasn't one that we all long for. We don't long for the mountaintop experience of Mount Nebo. But I want to look at the traditional mountaintop experience this evening, which is found in Matthew chapter 17. And I'm going to draw some things from that tonight. And so if you can turn to Matthew chapter 17, and I'd like to read verses 1 to 9 for a Bible reading. Starting there at verse 1 of chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud. Normally we think of dark clouds, don't we? But a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And so that's definitely a different mountaintop experience to what poor old Moses had to go through. It's commonly called the Mount of Transfiguration. The scholars say that it was Mount Tabor. That's where they believe this took place. But I guess we're not told exactly. But this was the time when Peter, James, and John, just those 3 disciples out of the 12, got to see Jesus in a way that they had never seen him before. They had been spending time with him for 3 years. Never had they seen Jesus like this. They saw his glory. I don't know if they saw his full glory, but they certainly saw a lot of his glory. He shone like the sun. So if you want to, when the sun finally appears, maybe in summer, look at the sun. Not kids don't do that, but that would give you a concept of how bright he was. And they discovered there that what they were looking at for all those years was just Jesus, the God the Son, encompassed in flesh, but that wasn't really what he was like. You know, they got to see the real Jesus in a miraculous way. And they would have seen the might of him and saw that he was a magnificent sight. And so this was a very special time for these three disciples. In fact, what I find interesting, Peter was still talking about this, we believe, over 40 years afterwards. This is something that didn't leave him. Just briefly turn over to 2 Peter, would you please, in chapter 1. In 2 Peter, he's an old man. Oh, wait a minute. He's in his 70s, and so he's an older man than what he was. And this is what he has to say as he is writing. And I guarantee he's writing it like it felt like yesterday. He says there in verse 16, says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from that excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." So here he is 40 years later and he's saying, look, this is real. I saw Jesus in a way that most never got to see him. And we heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased." And so this was a special time for Peter that he never forgot. And that's what I want us to stop in and consider this evening in really a brief way. It's certainly a more simple message than what it was this morning. But I want to consider those special times in our life when the Lord allows us to see him in a way that we may never have seen him before. Those special times when he just opens our minds, opens our understanding, and we see Jesus in a special way that just warms our heart and helps us along the way. In my experience, we don't have these, what we would call Mount of Transfiguration experiences every day. If you do, I'm jealous. In my experience, you don't even have them every year. But you do have them at special times, and I suspect they are the times when the Lord knows you just need to see him in a special way to be encouraged. For me, I think the first time this happened was when I got right with the Lord when I was 19, and I was heading home on a Sunday evening, and after church it was dark, and I was listening to what was a lot more godly music then. And it was a song that I had heard a number of times, but it talked about the crucifixion of Christ. And it was just this time going home, I heard the words like I hadn't heard before, and I visualized Christ on the cross like I hadn't seen before or thought of before, and it actually just made me start to cry and thank the Lord for what he had done. This is just one of those little times where the Lord just revealed himself to me. And that's special, one of the times. Another time I was in Sydney and we were singing the song that we sung this morning, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, there at Condell Park. And I don't know, I was just singing that hymn and just the words just hit me in a way, and it just... I felt, when you say feel the Lord, it's just like I saw the Lord in a different way that I've seen him before. Thinking back, I remember I spoke at a camp in South Australia, and I was driving back by myself along those boring roads and the back roads there, and driving there was this just the biggest rainbow I've ever seen. You know, sometimes you see a rainbow and say, man, that's cool, you know, and you keep driving. It was so big, I had to just pull over and get out of the car and look at it. And then that passage where we're told how Christ sits on a rainbow-circled throne. And I've always wondered, is the circle that way or that way? Right? I suspect it's that way and the throne's inside. And that's what the apostle saw. And I just looked at how huge that bow was in the sky, and it just made me realize how awesome, in that the real sense, how huge and beautiful and magnificent God is. And that was just a time where I just sat there. I don't normally sit still for very long, but I just sat there and just saw God in a way that I hadn't thought of him before. And I trust that you could get up here and share some times like that. You might just have one, you might have a few, I don't know. But this is what I want to just stop and consider this evening. The time when these three disciples saw Jesus in a way they had never seen him before. And just a few thoughts that go along there. The first thought is from verse 1. We can say thought, point, and that is God can reveal himself anywhere, anytime. It says there in verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And as we said, it doesn't tell us the name of the mountain. It's not the mountain really that matters. It's the presence of Christ that really mattered. And we see here that they got to see Christ in this amazing way on top of a mountain. But the good news is we don't have to have that pilgrimage, find that mountain in the hope to see Christ in a way that we've never seen him before. You know, isn't that a blessing? We don't have to do that. Christ can reveal himself to us anywhere, anytime. And some of you might have the experience, look, I was on a camp and I didn't really want to be there, but I went there and God spoke to me and I just saw the Lord in a way that I haven't seen him before. And it really touched my heart. Maybe that's your story. Maybe you're saying, I was just in a normal, everyday church service on a Sunday and boring old Pastor Mitchell was preaching, but God spoke to me and revealed himself in a way that I haven't seen before. Maybe it's having your quiet time. I've been having a quiet time for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it's, they seem dry, and then whew, God just revealed something about himself. That was amazing. Might be when you were sick. Maybe when you were just lying in bed in the nighttime. Maybe in the car listening to something like I was. You know, God doesn't have to, it doesn't matter where we are, when he believes we need an insight into seeing him, he's able to do it. The mistake that some people make is they restrict God, thinking that you have to reproduce the circumstances when they saw Christ in a new way in order to enjoy it again. You know, some people, there was talk when we were thinking about leaving Crystal Creek campsite to have our things. Oh, but God has done so much work in people's lives there. Oh, I wouldn't want to move from there. As though it's Crystal Creek which brought that campsite that brought that, but it wasn't. Christ can reveal himself at another campsite as well, thankfully. It might be you were touched by an evangelist, and so you think we need that evangelist all the time and so he can touch others like he touched me. It's not the evangelist, so to speak. It might be I've been reading a book. Everyone should read this book because this book really changed me and challenged me. But it might have just been for you. Some people think, well, you have to go through a tragedy like I did before you can see Christ. The fact is, you know, if the disciples did disobey Jesus and tell everyone, mate, you should have seen what we saw today. You know, it was amazing. You know, if they did say that, and so all the disciples ran up the next day up the mountain so they could get that as well, they wouldn't have seen anything because Jesus wasn't there. The best thing that they could do is to just keep walking with Christ, and Christ would reveal something special to them if he believed they needed to at the right time. And this is the key for us. When you hear a story, don't pull over if you see a rainbow and look at it and hope that whatever happened there will happen to you or whatever it may be. Be walking with Christ, making sure you're close to him, and he will reveal himself at those special times when we need it. That's the first thing. God can reveal himself anywhere, anytime. Second thing, from verse 4, and that is the temptation can be to not want to leave when Christ has revealed himself to you. It says there in verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. You got that right. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, basically three tents, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. So he wanted to have a little camp out there. Let's just forget about the world. Let's forget about anything else. Why don't we just sit up here and we can talk to Moses and Elias and also you in this magnificent state. Let's just stay here. And as nice as that would have been, Jesus had work he had to do. He had to get back into the grind of doing certain things. And the disciples were the same. But that is a temptation. You know, when the Lord touches you, often you don't want it to. You just want to stay like that. I know when I have been on camps and they have just been a real blessing, you hear many of people say, I wish we could just stay here and just keep enjoying the blessing of this camp. Now, I reckon if we stayed there long enough, it would become feeling like normal and we'd want to leave anyway, okay? We'd want to get back to things, but we have that feeling. But the reality is these are just special times that keep us going so that we can get into the nitty-gritty things of life and continue to serve the Lord. And so if the Lord does bless you with that, don't keep seeking it. You know, what I do find is some people keep climbing, so to speak, mountains in search of trying to find that instead of doing what they should be doing. And so they go from camp to camp to camp trying to reproduce what they have experienced. Or they go from conference to conference to conference or to church to church to church or whatever it may be. It's because they want to avoid just getting in and just being living the normal Christian life with all its ups and downs. They just want that little mountaintop experience to stay forever. Now, that's only for heaven. Imagine heaven is the mountaintop and you never have to come down. That will be a blessing. So that's another thing. Third thing I want to bring out. And that is when someone truly sees Christ in a new way, it doesn't make them proud, it humbles them. It says there in verses 6 and 7, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. You know, when they saw Jesus in his glory, they fell to their face. Like they humbled themselves in the sight of God. This was not a proud moment. They were overwhelmed, I suspect, with his greatness and their sin. And that's a good sign to know when someone knows a lot about Christ and someone who actually knows Christ. Someone who knows a lot about Christ will be very boastful about what they know and talk about it and maybe even give experiences of their life and so on. And people might be in awe of how magnificent this person is, But someone who truly knows Christ, as I was saying to someone this morning, the closer you grow to the Lord, the more sinful you realize you are. That's the bad thing. That's, if there's one bad thing about growing in the Lord and getting closer to Him, you realize how more sinful you are. When the Lord's far away and His brightness is very dim in your life, you can't see there's any problems in your life. The closer you get to the Lord, you realize, woe is me. You know, I'm a man of unclean lips, and so on. And so that's a good way of seeing if you really have been touched by the Lord. Is it something you get proud about? Or is it something that just humbles you when you realize how awesome God is, how good and holy and beautiful He is, and how unworthy you are of His love, yet He still gives it to you. And then we see in verse 8 this. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And I believe they realized that Jesus only is enough. You know, we don't have them recorded saying that when they lifted up their eyes and they saw Jesus only, they said, what? We wanted to talk to Moses. We want to talk to Elijah. Why is it just you? You know, there was no concept of that. When they had seen who Jesus really was, they saw His glory. When they looked up and saw Jesus, He was enough. And that's something that I think we need to keep in mind. And that's a good indication when you truly know the Lord, or you're walking with the Lord, or you've seen Him in a way that maybe you haven't seen Him before, is you understand and you have confirmed once again that Jesus only is more than enough. You know, after they were walking down that mountain, I suspect that those three disciples walked with an extra, what's the phrase? Spring. I was going to say an extra step in their step, but that's not it. An extra spring in their step. All right. We're walking, guess who we're walking with? We're walking with Jesus. You know who Jesus is? I have just seen who Jesus is. Would they be concerned about, is Jesus enough? Is He really worth following? They would have seen things that would have blown their mind, and they would have been more than proud to think that they could walk alongside Jesus. We often think about Moses, Elijah, Paul. They're just men. If we really want to get excited, to walk with Jesus is who we should be getting excited about. And if you haven't seen Jesus like that, or that seems to be a distant thing, I'd encourage you to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, reveal Yourself to me. Show me Your love. Show me Your glory. I like what we have recorded in John chapter 12, and I'll read it to you about some particular Greeks who, this is not normal for Greeks to want to know this of a Jew, but it says there in John chapter 12 verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. What did they want to see? Is there any possibility of seeing Jesus? That's who they wanted to see. And the good thing is, we don't have to travel to Jerusalem to see Jesus. We don't have to find that mountain to see Jesus. I'm confident that Jesus will reveal Himself in a way and at a place when we are truly seeking Him and walking with Him. You know, we have that scripture where it says, be still and know that I am God. I do believe that sometimes Christ wants to reveal himself to us, but we're just not still enough. We're too busy filling our mind with things on our phone, on the TV, just things of the world. We're too busy with other things in life where we just can't be still and know that I'm God. Or we just don't want to be where Christ wants us to be. You know, it does say that when we read that at the very beginning, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James and John. He called them out. Could you imagine if they said, I'm just not up to it today, Jesus. I'm a bit tired. I'm overwalking. Can you take someone else? Can you imagine what they'd be kicking themselves after they realized what they missed out on? Wishing that they had put the effort in to actually go where Jesus would have them to be. You know, sometimes people, there are special events on. There are camps, special meetings, and you can be touched by God. But if you're not there, you never will be. Sometimes God wants to reveal himself through his word, but you just don't read it. Or you just don't come to listen to his word. And you miss out on the blessing. Sometimes we're not where the Lord wants us to be so he can show himself to us. And so I wonder, when was the last time you had a Mount Transfiguration experience? I trust you have, and I trust you can dwell on them, especially in the times when things feel a little bit dark and lonely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the day. Thank you that you are real. And although we can hear of so-called testimonies where you came and stood at the end of the bed and spoke, Lord, you know the truth there. But we do know that you want to illuminate us, reveal yourself to us, through your word, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would be looking, watching, and seeking you in every area of our life, that, Lord, we may see you in your glory as well. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.